Hi, I'm Amanda.
And I'm Rebecca, and this is Full Plate, Full Cup. We're startup leaders turned executive coaches who believe that you deserve to be wildly successful and wildly happy.
We interview trailblazing entrepreneurs, business leaders, and creatives so you can peek behind the curtain of how they got where they are today and start carving your own path towards success.
Each episode shares personal stories as well as actionable takeaways that you can apply to begin living a more joyful and fulfilling life.
Join us to learn how to scale your business, harness your power, and fill your cup.
If you like what you hear, subscribe, leave a review, and share with a friend. Thanks for listening.
Well, welcome back to the Full Plate, Full Cup podcast. We are so excited today to have Agatha Relota-Lusso here. She is the founder and chief creative officer of Fortuna Skin. Before I read her entire bio, you know, Agatha, I feel like I was probably an early adopter or at least early like knower about your brand when we partnered at Sakara. How soon after you guys launched was that? That was pretty early, right? When I was working at Sakara?
I feel like it was about a year after
we
launched.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, yes. Cool. So on the earlier. Yeah. So yeah, I've
on had the earlier side. Yeah. Because we're about 3 years old at the moment.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it had to be because I left there in 3 years ago. So yeah. So it was.
Yeah. So it was maybe it was even, maybe it was like a few months after we launched or six months after. It was early on.
Yeah.
And I love that partnership because I love Sakara Light and what they're doing, and they're really in line with, you know, how what we think and feel and about sustainability and health. And it's great.
Totally. That was such a fun, fun partnership. Well, I will just go ahead and read your bio and then we can dive in. So Agatha Relota-Lusso. Oh, yeah. Agatha Relota-Lusso is a wife, mother of four, international model, olive oil sommelier, and the founder and chief creative officer of Fortuna Skin, an Italian skincare brand combining regenerative agriculture practices with modern science to drive unprecedented performance of its olive oil-based products. Agatha's career and passion for skincare products, ingredients, formulations, supplements, and regimens began at the tender age of 16 when she began her modeling career, working for Chanel and gracing the pages of Vogue. Today, she funnels all of that experience and knowledge into Fortuna Skin, driving strategy, product development, and creative direction, among many other things. On top of all this, her joint philanthropic initiatives with her husband have been widely lauded, particularly their charitable and economic work in rural Sicily, where their La Fortuna estate is based and where the ingredients that make up Fortuna Skin's 5-star rated products are grown. Agatha, I'm so excited to have you here to talk about
Thank you so much. Thank you for that wonderful intro.
Of course, of course. There's so much to talk about, but this is sort of a selfish first question because it's what I'm obsessed with. Can you please tell us about the farm, the story of the land, your husband's ancestors? I find this part of your brand story so unique and so beautiful. And I remember, you know, back in, I don't know if it was 2018, 2019, when I started chatting with you and your team about partnering at Sakara, I was like, wow, this is different. This is so, it felt so magical and special to hear kind of the story of the land and how the your ancestral roots are tied into it. So I'd love to just hear a little bit about the farm.
Yes. So it all started when my husband was 10 years old. He made a promise to his grandmother that he will, you know, buy the land for her one day and bring it back into the family. It's the land that his grandmother was born on. And she moved away to the States, you know, as a child, but always talked about how special this land is and magical, and it had natural spring water on it. And so we, 15 years ago, we went on this journey to find the land and to fulfill my husband's promise. And we found the land. It's a half acre large. We found the foundation of where her house was. And we purchased that land, and then we, over time, acquired 800 acres of land. It's magical. And we turned it into this beautiful, magical farm. And we restored her house where the foundation was. And that's where we stay at, you know, an adorable one bedroom little house. And the stonework is amazing. And we try to restore it just as, you know, the house was once previously. But the land is just, you know, you when you're there on this land, it has meant, you know, all different elevations. The top of Mount Baru there, Baru in Arabic means to the sea. You're an hour and a half away from the sea, but you could see to the sea. Wow. And Baru means to the sea.
Beautiful.
So when you're on this land, you can just feel the land wants to give. It's like it has a heartbeat to it and a pulse. And it's just, you know, every time we go there, it's even more plush with more, you know, floras and flowers and, you know, extremophyte plants. So Dr. Pasquale Marino helped us, you know, develop the land and build it out. And also he was there from the beginning. He has a double PhD in botany, biology, and he's an agronomist. And he's documented over 500 different floras and flowers on the farm and over 80 medicinal plants. We brought back an ancient olive tree, Biancolilla centenara, back from extinction. We have over, you know, about 14,000 olive trees. We have olive trees that are over 1,000 years old. But Biancolilla centenara is special because there are two cultivars of olive trees that were about to be extinct. We were after them and brought them back to, you know, they're not extinct anymore. And you can find that only on our farm in Sicily. So we also built an olive mill. So as soon as the olives are picked, they're bottled and pressed right there on the farm.
Wow.
And we have full control over the process. But what is amazing about it is also the community there. We are the largest employers in the area. And, you know, the unemployment rate in Sicily is pretty high. There's, you know, so we provide jobs and give back to the community. And it's just, it's great to see the community thrive and everyone's so happy to come and work on the land. Of their ancestors. It's all about heritage and tradition and, you know, anything that, you know, my husband and I do, we think about like the future generations and how can we leave the world a better place than we found it. And that's what Fortuna Skin is also rooted in. Community, transforming lives and leaving the world a better place than we found it. Developing Fortuna Skin, I co-founded it with my co-founder, Kim Walls, who's a master botanist, she's a master formulist. I was thinking of yeah. Dr. Marino. She's a master formulist. She grew up in the clean skincare world. And so it was fun, you know, developing and formulating the products with her. We formulated and were developing it 5 years before launch.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I'm going into whole different topics, but that's a story of Sicily and the land and, you know, heritage, being committed to a promise that my husband made when he was a little boy.
It's so beautiful. You know, you're speaking to my heart. I recently left the city after 21 years and we moved to a 19-acre property in the Southern Catskills. And so,
beautiful.
Yeah. And, you know, so when you're speaking of just the land itself and, you know, you're being in relationship with the land, I think it's so different, than what a lot of, you know, beauty companies are thinking about, right? Even if they are clean beauty, using clean ingredients. I think a lot of our listeners understand clean beauty, clean ingredients, but you guys actually grow your products and produce your products from a lens of combating climate change and nurturing biodiversity, which I think is a little bit different. And since we're talking about the land, I'd love to just hear a little bit about, you know, how your production or process, which I don't know anything about, but how are you guys thinking about biodiversity, and almost like taking care of the land as the land takes care of you.
Yeah. At the La Fortuna Estate, we practice regenerative agriculture. First, all 800 acres of our farm is organic. 80% is a biopreserve, and everything on our land is fed with natural spring water. So when you talk about, you know, ingredients being clean, these are, you know, the next level of clean. There's no industry around our farm. So everything is completely organic, and you know, our tagline is wildly potent. We have all different elevations on the farm. Everything's grown in the wild. So the plants, when they're grown in the wild, are more potent than if they were cultivated. The plant community is amazing. They talk to one another underground. They share nutrients and vitamins, and they make themselves stronger and more resilient. And the soil in Sicily is amazing because it has the volcanic ash in it and so many of the minerals that feed the plants. Everything on our farm is also hand foraged, and we forage things at different times of the year as not to kill off the plant and let it keep living on. So with regenerative farming, agriculture is about improving the health of the soil, which in turn enhances the biodiversity and reduces the carbon from the atmosphere. And we use all different types of farming techniques to ensure that the ingredients are grown in a way that supports the environment rather than depleting it.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we, you know, at Fortuna Skin, think about what regenerative agriculture and farming is and practice regenerative beauty, which takes it to the next level. Takes clean beauty to the next level, thinking about sustainability, thinking about the holistic approach to, you know, so there's so many brands that talk about, you know, being organic and being clean. And when you have access to your own ingredients and your own plants, you know, you can actually have the transparency to show the how effective plants can be.
Yeah, it's like farm to table skincare.
So it's like taking ancient wisdom, mixing it with modern science. What we did was we looked at the pharmaceutical industry about how they extracted nutrients from the plants, and we adapted that system. It's called sound bath extraction method, where we use ultrasound to extract the nutrients.
Yeah. And how does this actually work? Like, is it an instrument? Like, talk to us about this. So just for anyone listening, they use a process of sound bath extraction. I just want to like highlight that because it's so, you know, I've been so fortunate to try, I think, all of your products, and reading the little booklets is so exciting because I'm like, sound bath extraction. You know, a lot of our listeners are, you know, on the spiritual side, or you know, maybe you're going to sound baths themselves and laying and hearing the singing bowls, or you know, whatever the different instruments are. So, how does one extract ingredients from a plant using a sound bath method? What does that look like?
Yeah. So, I just want to start and say that, you know, the pharmaceutical industry uses this because they need to have the exact, you know, amounts and know exactly what their levels are.
Yeah.
So it's a more accurate way of extracting nutrients. What happens is it's either in a vat, in either our olive leaf water or solution, and the sound breaks the barrier walls of the plants, and it's extracted out. Yeah. It's an incredible process.
That is so fascinating. And you know, what's interesting to me, and I do want to go back to the earlier days of your career, because I think it's like what you guys are doing is so drastically different than what, like, you know, like industrial, I guess we would call it like industrial, I don't want to call it dirty beauty, but like more industrial beauty, drugstore beauty, like what they're doing. And I know that you began your career in the modeling industry, which, like, I would assume you didn't have a lot of control over like what they were putting on your face, what they were putting on your skin. You know, it was kind of like the designer or the makeup artist or whatever, you know, what they were going to use. So how did that spark your interest in skincare? And did that almost like, you know, were you thinking about, oh, these ingredients, or did that come later?
So that part came a bit later when I was pregnant with our first child, but it did spark an interest and a love for skincare and makeup. I worked with some of the best artists like Pat McGrath and makeup artists from all over the world, from Korea, from Japan, and everyone has a different technique and uses different products. And I learned so many great massage techniques for preparing the skin before a photo shoot And then I also fell in love with like micellar water. I call it the French woman's secret. Mm-hmm. And there hasn't been any innovation in micellar water. So since I'm obsessed with it, I decided to bring some innovation to it. Their traditional micellar water is made with coconut surfactant. Ours is made with olive surfactant infused with our olive leaf water, which is 3 times more potent than other industrial leaf water on the market. So it has inspired me in, you know, the way I think about skincare, apply it, the products that I fell in love with. So it helped with, you know, the development of products. And I also travel so much with our children. So I wanted a, you know, a simplified routine.
Yeah.
And that helped as well in deciding the formulations for our products and the lineup.
Yeah.
But when I became pregnant with our first child, I really realized like what you put on your skin is as equally as important as what we eat. We think about what we eat so much, but we also have to think about our skin. Our skin is our number one organ.
Yeah.
Dr. Alan Green, who's our children's pediatrician, and he's an amazing pediatrician. He did this study with an environmental working group where he took a bunch of teenagers, looked in their medicine cabinet, wrote down all the toxic ingredients they're just putting on their face.
Yeah.
Then they drew blood and all those toxic ingredients were in their bloodstream.
Yeah.
So it shows that what you put on your skin is so important.
Yeah.
And the whole skin from your face to your body.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you mentioned a little bit earlier that you were researching for 5 years before you launched the brand, which, you know, we have a lot of people who listen who are entrepreneurs or you know, budding entrepreneurs thinking about launching businesses, et cetera. And I'm curious, what was that 5-year process like? Did you know you were going to launch a brand, but you weren't sure what the products were going to be? Were you just getting the formulations right? Talk to us about the kind of incubation process that you and your co-founder took during those 5 years of prep.
Yeah, so we took our time. I always tell people when you follow your passions and your goals and you stick to that, you know, it'll help you get to the next level. And that research process was over 500 different plants on the farm and over 80 different medicinal plants. So just going through that list, testing our active levels, you know, working through the formulations, finding the labs and the different processes and finding the sound bath extraction method to adapt into extracting our nutrients. So all of that took time. And we wanted to be sure that, you know, we had all the processes set up before we launched.
And, you know, I understand this from working at Sakara, right, which is different but similar in the sort of like sourcing and working with plants and, you know, commitment to really high quality. So I'm curious, you know, how do you guys as a company balance the desire to grow and be profitable and be a business with also, you know, this really, you know, unrelenting commitment to quality in the ingredients, the processing, the packaging? How do you balance that? I imagine it's not easy.
It's not easy, but you know, we're a luxury, you know, organic skincare line. And I feel like it's like the differences between the luxury brands versus the fast fashion brands as well. The one thing that at Fortuna Skin will never sacrifice is the quality of our ingredients and our sourcing. That's something that's, you know, that's the root of our brand that we want to make it easy for people to go and shop for products and transparency and know what they're putting on their skin is good for them. I feel like it's so difficult today. We follow the practices of, you know, the EU regulations. They have 1,300 ingredients on their no-no list that the US accepts in their products. So we follow the EU standards, but quality is something we'll never sacrifice. And then we also think about sustainability. And I feel like that's an effort that everyone can work at every single day to improve. And hopefully, you know, the packaging world is also trying to think of more sustainable packaging that's not so expensive for companies and brands.
Yeah.
So hopefully in time, it will help companies stay sustainable and reduce their costs down. So we're always researching to see if there's something that's, you know, sustainable and a little more cost friendly for the company. And it's an ongoing process.
Yeah,
but,
we had the a man named John Replogle on the podcast. He's actually the board chair of Sakara, but he was the CEO of Seventh Generation. He was the CEO of Burt's Bees. And he was talking about how a lot of the big companies, the Pepsis, the Unilevers, right, they are starting to invest in the development of more sustainable packaging options. And that, you know, hopefully in the next, let's say, 5 years, right, that innovation that the big guys are working on will trickle downstream. And obviously there's a lot of things that big corporations do that they are vilified for, you know, often it's rightly so, right? The kind of practices that they've been engaging in. But, you know, what he said is from a consumer lens is to keep demanding that, you know, hey, I want this Pepsi, but it needs to be in a, you know, I don't want it in a plastic bottle, or, you know, I want to buy this right. lipstick, but I don't want it to come in three layers of extra plastic packaging. And I don't want it to have, you know, so I think, you know, his advice was that the consumer was, you know, is more powerful than they think. But I'm curious, you know, greenwashing is a huge issue in the beauty industry. So if somebody is shopping for a product, right, are there things like obviously something just saying, oh, we're clean, we're green, you know, is not sufficient to know that that you're actually getting something that's going to be, you know, healthy for whether it's a cleaning product or a skincare product. What are some things that people should look out for, or what are some signifiers that, okay, this product is actually safe, I can apply it to my children's skin, or I can use it to clean, you know, my dishes?
Yeah. So I think there's a few things. It's so tough for the consumers now because they have to really do research, you know, and on companies and stuff. But if a company is truly transparent, they'll have everything listed like we do on our website. It's easy to find. It's not hidden. You know, we're on the Good Face Project as well. We have our European certifications and also the U.S. You can look out for things like EWG Verified, Good Face Project, the Leaping Bunny, the BioAgriCert, the organic certification. So if you have all these certifications, you know, look out for those things. Look out for a company that, you know, is providing you everything and not hiding any of the ingredients. Mm. And that's transparent. And also, like to your point before, it comes from the consumer. So if the consumer is also supporting brands that is behind sustainability, transparency, you know, using the most wildly potent ingredients and, you know, having their best interest in mind and supporting those companies, other companies will see that, the yeah. support from the consumers that they're shopping for the, you know, and supporting these brands that have these and more ethical values.
Yeah. Speaking of brand, you guys have been able to break into the, you know, very crowded skincare market. Even, you know, the clean beauty market has gotten more crowded. You are the chief creative officer. And I'm curious, you know, what do you think, or what were the things that you guys did to really differentiate your brand? Because, you know, I work with founders all the time, and I think it's something that people struggle with, right? Like, there's a million of everything these days, right? Like, you're not going to be, for the most part, you're not going to be the first food brand. You're not going to be the first skincare brand, right? You're competing against a lot of other people in the same space. So how did you differentiate your brand, and what advice do you have for other folks looking to launch some type of business or brand? How do they differentiate?
The best way for entrepreneurs and for new companies to differentiate themselves is that initial idea that they had to start the company or that business or launch that product. So it comes from that. So if you stay true to your goal and your vision and your mission, I think you can find your white space, because, you know, you started it for a reason because you couldn't find it. So if you stay yeah. true to all those factors, you will, and you find the magic in it, you will find your white space and the way to shine amongst all the other brands. You know, we launched 2 months before COVID. I think that when COVID hit, people really realized, like, oh, you know, they were taking a moment for themselves. They were taking a moment for, you know, self-care and finding rituals and finding products that are good for them and realizing, and, you know, everyone slowed down for a minute to see that, you know, you need to have more brands that are thinking about, you know, the future generation, the planet, and leaving yeah. this world a better place. And I really believe that what sets us apart is our commitment to using the cleanest ingredients, you know, having our consumers in mind, having, you know, giving them a product that actually transforms their skin as well. Something I love about launching, you know, Fortuna Skin is that I could actually share our magical farm with our mm-hmm. consumers and with the world. It's like they can have a piece of that farm in every single bottle. And it's exciting to be able to share that magic. I feel like I want people to feel, you know, that they've just been transported to Sicily and feel that magical air and that, you know, Sophia Loren vibe and that beautiful skin and clean beauty and can be sexy as well.
Yeah. No, it's refreshing. So true. What is your balm? And, the blue balm?
Oh, the replenishing balm.
Oh, the replenishing balm. I mean, I love all of your products, but the replenishing balm, it actually has that feeling of like, it takes you away from your vanity in your bathroom, right? It has that that sort of just seductive quality. It's such a beautiful product. Tell us, since I just went on and on about it.
And the biphase oil as well. That also takes me away.
Yeah, totally, totally. Well, that's so exciting. So you mentioned launching right before COVID, which I could imagine was not the easiest thing. And, you know, was for any business owner, any employee for that matter, it was a really challenging time. But I'm curious, as a brand founder, what is the most or the biggest challenge you've faced to date? And what did you learn from that experience?
I guess one of the biggest challenges was probably launching during COVID.
Yeah.
But it also taught us so much because it taught you that you had to be agile as a team. You had to also think out of the box. You know, challenges will always come, but you have to just be able to overcome them. And every day you get little challenges as a founder and as a team. Yeah. But if you can think about out of the box and be agile, then you can overcome them and think of different solutions as a company.
Yeah. How big is your team? And are you the type of business that wants to stay sort of boutique, or do you have kind of grand plans to scale to be a much larger organization?
You know, we're about 12 employees right now, and we do have dreams of scaling.
Yeah.
I do want to share the products and the magic of Fortuna Skin with the world. Yeah.
Beautiful. So,
I mean, you know, I want to share our commitment to clean sourcing, the regenerative beauty. Our products are amazing. I love our face and eye serum. Have you tried it?
Yeah, yes.
I mean, it's like Botox in a bottle.
Yeah.
I always tell everyone. And it's like a Botox in a bottle and a vitamin bath. I cannot live without this serum.
Yeah. They're all of your products, and I'm not just saying this, are phenomenal, and not just the effects of them, but the way that they feel, the way that they smell, right? Like, you really can tell that it comes from a different place than, you know, the other skin products that you might be using. And look, I've always used nice skin products. I wasn't using, you know, Neutrogena, no offense to Neutrogena, but it's different. It's different. The way that your skin receives it is different because the skin knows. It's like attracts like.
It drinks it up.
Yeah.
The vitamins. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to know, this is like a question that I love to ask, which is, what about your business or your brand sparks the most joy for you?
You know, what sparks the most joy for me is, I think I just mentioned this before, is being able to share the magic of the farm through our products.
Yeah.
That sparks so much joy for me. And also that, you know, sparks joy that every day that we, you know, transforming the lives and giving back to the community and seeing the effect that we have, you know, on lives is just, you know, gives me a lot of joy and fulfilling.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Now, you mentioned, I read it in your bio, that you have 4 kids, which is a lot of kids.
Yes.
I'm a working mom, but I have 2 kids. You have double the kids.
Yeah, we had 4 kids in 5 years.
Wow. And how
at one point, like, so they're actually, I'll turn, at the moment, I could say 13, 12, 11, 8.5.
Wow.
And actually, tomorrow it all starts.
Amazing.
Digits.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, so, you know, we
amazing
know.
Amazing kids. We're so blessed.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, 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 no. not at all. But we know that, you know, nobody has the secret. There's no balance. Like there's no, you know, there's no like one kind of secret or, you know, magic thing that makes working while parenting easy. But I'm curious, how do you remain present in your work as a founder, as well as in your mom life? What are some of the tools or the ways that you think about kind of doing both that have brought more, you know, joy into the process?
You know, my kids love, you know, taking part and learning about Fortuna Skin and the farm. And, you know, I bring them into what I'm doing as well. And they're so proud of me for building Fortuna Skin and for seeing everything that we're doing.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, inviting your kids into your world, you know, on the journey and the process is a lot of fun, but also prioritizing, you know, and knowing what's important to you, and, you know, having the different focus schedules.
Yeah.
And making time for each, you know, just really helps set the day. I always tell people like the Pomodoro technique is a great technique to start off if you don't know how to get yourself organized and prioritize your tasks and your focuses.
Yeah. Can you explain really the helps. Pomodoro technique?
Yeah. You write down your list and of your tasks for the day. And they also have these great books, journals that you could buy as well. And, you know, schedule out your week of every day of what you're going to be focusing on and how much time do you think that's going to take to complete? And you work for 20 minutes and you take a 10 minute break and you set the timer. So you have 20 minutes of, you know, amazing focus on one thing, especially when you have kids and you're working at home. It's great to sort of schedule out and organize your time. So that's how that works. And it's great to adapt it just to start getting a rhythm and a routine in your work. And also, you know, something that's tough for me, but something I work at every day is learning how to delegate things.
You
know, focusing on the things that are important and the ones that are the things that are not important, you know, at the moment for you to do and someone else can take over, have them do it. So then you can have more time with your family and your children.
Yeah, which is so important as a founder. And I know like a lot of early stage founders, you know, you're wearing every single hat. And then as the business grows, you can't wear every single hat. And then you have to decide, okay, which hats am I going to wear and which hats am I going to delegate? I'm curious, how did you decide that you wanted to be the chief creative officer versus a CEO or a COO? You decided you wanted to be the chief creative officer. How did you make that decision? And was that an easy decision? Did it take a lot of thought? How did that?
Yeah, it didn't take a lot of thought. And the reason is because I love being a mom. And I knew that I don't have 100 hours a week to be CEO.
Yeah.
And it takes, you know, my husband was a CEO and I see what it takes to be a CEO.
Yeah.
You know, you're working 100 hour weeks and I just didn't have that time and I didn't want to put, you know, that pressure on myself or on the company, you know, not being present for either one.
Yeah.
And realizing, you know, I think we can all get trapped into saying, okay, I want to do this, but you know, you realize that you don't have the time.
Yeah.
That's why I chose not to be the CEO. And also I have growing up in the creative world and working with amazing creatives and, you know, over the years in the fashion industry has really helped hone my creative eye. And I wanted to bring that in Fortuna Skin.
Yeah.
Through my vision for the brand.
I think that's really important for people to hear because we have this sort of image of the, you know, the founder CEO. And if you want to launch something that you then have to be, you know, wearing all of those hats, but really like, if you want to bring something into the world, right, you can decide, hey, this is the role that makes the most sense for me. And maybe not on day one, you know, maybe there's a period of time where you are sort of everything to the business, but then as it scales, you know, I coach a lot of founders and I think a lot of them would be happier if they gave up that CEO title or hired a president or hired a GM, right? Like sort of stepped out of that executive role and got to play in their creative and visionary space a little bit more, instead of sort of thinking, well, I started this thing, so I got to be the, you know, I got to be the CEO, yeah, and I got to do all the heavy lifting. It's not necessarily the case.
Yeah. Right. It's not the case. And yeah, it doesn't mean that you can't be involved in every aspect, yeah, of the business, because, yeah, I'm involved in every aspect of the business and, you know, yeah, involved in the product development and, you know,
yeah,
have my hands in everything. But it doesn't mean that you have to carry the whole weight of the company on your shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of that, I'm curious, what is next for Tuna Skin? I know that you guys also, or I don't know if it's a sister company, you have an olive oil company. So talk to me a little bit, yeah, about what's next for Fortuna. What's next for you as a businesswoman and as a creative? What could we expect in the next, you know, let's say year?
So for Fortuna Skin, we're actually launching a new product that, ooh, I'm so excited about in November.
Amazing.
And it's our triple active exfoliator.
Ooh.
It's amazing. I can't,
sure,
wait to share it with the world.
Yeah.
So that's next. I'm excited to keep growing the brands. I have a whole bunch of ideas for the brand that we're working on. And I just can't wait to present it to our the world and our,
yeah,
customers.
Yeah. So exciting.
And that's exciting. And then, yeah, we have La Bona Fortuna, which is our olive oil brand. And that, you know, Fortuna Skin is, you know, a little over 3 years old. And Bona Fortuna, we started in the beginning of the farm. So we, okay, make olive oil. It's an award-winning olive oil. And it's the olive oil that we use in Fortuna Skin as well. At Fortuna Skin, we have an elixir, because we did elixir to drink olive oil every day. I take a shot of olive oil every single morning for, mm-hmm, the health. I think it's like the fountain of youth. It's,
wow,
so healthy for you. It's antibacterial, anti-inflammatory. It's amazing for the health. And so we have elixir. There's different 12 different varieties of olive trees on our farm. And we pick the 6 olive trees that is the best for your health and for your skin,
cool,
to take a shot of every day. But at Bona Fortuna, we make olive oil, pasta, tomato sauce. We have biscottis. We have the most amazing herbs for cooking and salt. It's incredible.
Oh, that's so fun. So, and, yeah, are you, what role do you play in that business? Are you running both businesses, or how do you kind of?
I'm focused, yeah, at Fortuna Skin, and my, okay, husband is focused on Bona Fortuna.
Oh,
but
I am an olive oil
sommelier.
Oh,
so,
wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so I love, you know, it's harvest time on the farm right now. They're pressing the olive oil. So, you know, I'm involved in the farm, obviously, but my focus is Fortuna Skin.
Okay.
But I'm involved in, you know, the olive oil process and chasing the olive oil.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That sounds phenomenal. I'm like, that's going to be my new morning routine. Only with the right, yeah, olive oil, right? Not like.
Have you had our Fortuna Skin Elixir?
I haven't. No.
All right. We have to send you,
okay,
some.
Okay. I'll have to try that. Oh, I'm so excited.
Yes.
Well, this has been so fun, learning more about the brand, learning more about you. We have a couple of just sort of, I call them rapid fire questions, but don't feel the need to answer it too fast. Sometimes it makes people nervous. So what is one tip for working smart?
One tip for working smart is prioritize important tasks.
And
I think that's like,
yeah,
my tip for working smart.
Yeah. Yeah. That is something that a lot of people struggle with as well, is like, you know, not getting caught in the weeds of answering a million emails or, you know, sitting on Slack,
yeah,
all day. So we agree with that tip, prioritizing the important stuff. And then what is one tip for working happy?
I think the one tip for working happy is to find the joy in your work. And when you find the joy in your work and I feel like you're fulfilling your passions, your values, and it just fulfills you and makes you happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you have certainly done that.
Yeah. I mean, I love, you know, something I love doing with our family as well is just, you know, practicing gratitude,
mm-hmm,
you know? And I,
yeah,
think when you also practice gratitude every day, it also makes you realize, you know, you become more grateful and you realize how blessed you are and starts off your day just more in a positive way. And I think that also helps you be a happier person.
Yeah,
with your
absolutely
work and your whole life,
absolutely,
you know, every aspect of your life.
Well, where can our listeners find you? If they want to know more about you, if they want to know about more about Fortuna or Bona Fortuna, where can they find all of your lovely brands?
So they can find Fortuna Skin at Neiman Marcus, Saks Fifth Avenue, Goop, Blue Mercury, directly from our website, our Instagram. And I have my own Instagram, Agatha Del Taluso, where I'm posting tips about olive oil and skincare and sharing everything we're doing at Fortuna Skin and also at Bona Fortuna. And Bona Fortuna is at Erewhon, a few other shops throughout the States. You can find us or direct to from the website as well.
Amazing. Well, Agatha, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and for sharing all of this beautiful information about your farm and your businesses. It was so lovely to really get to sit down and talk with you. And we can't wait to share this conversation with the world.
And thank you so much for having me on and letting me tell everyone about the farm.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Full Plate, Full Cup. If you found this episode helpful, please make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with a friend.
To learn more about the Full Plate, Full Cup methodology or to work with us in a more personal way, find us on Instagram at Full Plate, Full Cup. That's at FullPlateFullCup, or online at www.fullplatefullcup.com. www.fullplatefullcup.com.